Today on Real Radio.
We're the only faith in the world where our God dies for us. We don't die for our God. Isn't that amazing? He died for us. And then he puts his spirit in us and he says, okay, now live for me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the letter of 1 Corinthians written by the Apostle Paul. Throughout church history, there have been debates about certain activities in which believers should or should not participate. Because we are no longer under the law, the debates on these issues seem to continue. Now, Paul doesn't leave us in the dark in these areas. In chapter 9, he demonstrates how certain actions may be a sin to one believer, but not necessarily to another. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Every Christian, a Life.
There's some of you in this place today. There's probably women here that God is calling you to go reach out to the prostitutes down in Pomona. There may be some men here today where the Lord is calling you to reach out to some of the guys that are at the health club over here. I don't know. But we got to go get them. I don't care if they come here. I just care they get to heaven. And it's all about the power of the cross that does that. And his witness is through the Christian. That's what I'm talking about. Look at verse 23. Mark that down. Verse 23, it's his witness in the Christian life. Watch this. Now, Paul says, look, now this I do for the gospel's sake that I may be a partaker of it with you. Simply this, that the gospel is being watched and viewed through Paul's life. And Paul says, together we'll do this. We will reach the world together. How many of you own a smartphone? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. You know, like, okay. How many of you own a computer? Raise your hands. Computer? Okay. Isn't it bizarre? Think of this. There's enough people in this room right now. This is amazing. Where you could take the gospel. You could type it out, the gospel. You could type it out. You could put it on your computer, and you could hit send. If you're a member, by the way, of our internet missions team, internet missionaries, imagine that. You guys are already on it. Worldwide, you can hit return. You can make a statement about Jesus and the love of God and his ability to forgive sin and to get you into the kingdom of heaven. He died and rose again from the grave. Jesus Christ did this for you because he loves you. And salvation is a free gift that comes through him. So trust him today. Send. Boop. How many people can you send that to? Think about all the power that's in this room right now that can preach the gospel in 30 seconds. Wow. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, and this is an amazing moment. You can read Acts 4 later. It's one of the most fun chapters of the Bible. The gospel's exploding. The church is growing. And Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and a great discussion breaks out and ministry takes place. And it says there in verse 12, Peter is speaking. He says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name Jesus. Verse 13, now when they, that's the bad guys, when the bad guys saw the boldness of Peter and John, watch this. Number one, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Okay, whatever's going on, they go, these guys are uneducated. These guys did not graduate from any school nearby. Look, they marveled. The word marveled, we get the word also that they were impressed or admired them. Why? Because look at the next line. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Jesus had long been resurrected. He was back in heaven. Christian, listen. The more you have of Jesus and the more time you spend with Jesus, the more your preaching is effective. You say, Pastor, I don't want to open my mouth. I'm not talking about opening your mouth. I'm talking about living your life, the life of a Christian, day in, day out. How you love, how you care for people, how you think. You're different. That's preaching. It's not mouthing. It's the life you're transmitting out of you 24/7. This word perceived, the Greek word is, watch this, it's a huge definition in English. The Greek word means that they recognized a distinguishing mark of identity upon them. They had a mark. Every Christian has a identity mark on them. Do you guys remember Mikhail Gorbachev? Yes. How do you know if you're really talking to the Mikhail Gorbachev? There's a lot of people who look like him. He looks like everybody's grandfather. By his head. What about his head? He had a huge birthmark on his head. Boom, right there, birthmark. That is Mikhail Gorbachev. Hey, you know what? Boom, right there, that is a Christian. How do you know? Look at the love coming out of that person's life. They're just loving all over the place. Caring, concern for others, being kind to people, telling the truth in love. Look at them. They oozing Jesus. That's the way it ought to be. Third and final point is this, you guys. Verses 24 to 27. And this to me gets really down to my heart. God completes his work. You need to hear this today. God completes his work. Look at verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Okay, stop right there. There's a comma right there, but stop right there. You ever seen a race? You ever been in a race? Does anyone walk in a race? Everybody in a race runs. Some run faster than others, but everybody runs. Paul is saying every Christian has got heaven in view. Now our group is going to get a little smaller. Every Christian has got the ultimate goal in mind. It's heaven. It's all about heaven, constantly about heaven in our lives. We make our decisions based upon heaven. What will this decision translate into heaven? You say, Jack, are you serious? I'm dead serious. What I decide today, how will it affect the lives of my family or this church regarding the name of Jesus and the witness? Because listen, do I have the ability to mess up everything? Are you guys awake? The answer is yes. You can slap me right now. You can say, yes. I have the ability to mess things up. Don't you have the ability to make things crazy in your life? Yes. I don't want that to happen. So Paul is saying, okay, here's the bottom line, and here's wrapping it up. Running a race, everybody in the race runs to win. They've all qualified. They're all in the Olympics. They're all ready to go. Every one of them has hopes of winning, right? But he says right here, only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Discipline your life. Be committed. Go for it. Finally, it's the end of the age, church. What are we doing flirting around the world and playing with it for? Think about this. He's saying run. And here's the deal. We are to run after Jesus with all of our hearts, single-eyed, single heart, single mind, right? He says you run with a purpose. You don't run in a race and you're running up the grandstands, coming down, going to the concession stands, going to the bathroom, back on the course, run for a little bit, run. You don't do that. But too many times as Christians, we live like that. I've met Christians who go from church to church to church to church. They don't even realize that they've fallen into a satanic trick. They go from church to church to church to church to church to church to church. They never get involved. They never serve. They're like little bees going around sampling the flowers. And the churches that they visited, they continue to grow. But that little bee Christian never grows. They never grow. That's like the guy running and he's running all over the place. Paul says, no, run in such a way, be committed as a believer. Okay, watch this. It gets fun and convicting at the same time. An act of faith, you guys, will be contagious. This is great. Have you ever seen, an act of faith will be contagious. Have you ever seen someone run? They start running. I've seen dogs do this. It's hilarious. something goes off and a dog starts to run. And then the other dogs, they don't know what they're doing and they start running with it. Have you seen that happen? It's hilarious. I've seen people do that. Somebody will go like this and people will go, what, what? Have you seen that happen? It's kind of funny. But there's a tendency when somebody goes, I'm going to run. And people go, what are you going to run? I'll run with you. An act of faith is contagious. Down deep inside, even an atheist knows, man, I need to do something with my life. Hey, Mr. Atheist, get up and run with us. We confess and we believe you won't be an atheist for long. God will touch your heart. Secondly, it's this. A grounded faith will be obvious. A grounded faith will be obvious. Look at verse 26 at the latter end of it. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. This is classic. The word shadow box. Paul says, I fight this way. Regarding my body, I don't swing at shadows. This is a great word. He means I have every step calculated in the release of energy in my life. I manage my life, he is announcing. Why? Because a grounded faith is an obvious faith. It's for real. And look, we're wrapping this up, but you need to hear this as I drive this home. Here's the thing. If you're a Christian today, our group's getting smaller now. If you're a Christian today, you know something. You know that ever since you became a Christian, your whole world has changed. And one of those things is that you know you have a renewed mind. Your mind thinks different. And the Bible tells us that our mind is renewed. And we have that renewal process by the Bible, the Word of God. Secondly, we've been given a new heart. We have a brand new spirit going on inside of us. And that's good news. And so we got all these things going. And lo and behold, you say, well, what's the problem? And this is only true for the Christian. You still have this body. This body. What did you do this morning when you got up? You had to wash it? I don't know how we get dirty sleeping, but we get up, we have to wash it. And then we have to put cologne or perfume on it or formaldehyde, whatever works. Why? Because it's dying. It's stinking more. You get older, you put more on. It's tough hugging old people. And now I'm one of them. It's like, you just empty the bottle on you. Growing up, I remember my parents stinking so bad. I remember, oh, my parents stink. And then now, my kids go, man, you guys stink. It's because we're dying, man. Listen, we've been redeemed. We've got a renewed mind, getting ready for heaven. We've got a brand new heart in us, a brand new spirit within us given to us by God. That's a gift that the Lord gives to every one of his kids is a new life, but we're still dragging this body around, right? This hasn't happened. We've not lost this yet. That's what the resurrection's for. This is good news. Listen, for the Christian, when death comes, it's like, get it off. Get this thing off of me. For the Christian, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Why? Get this body off me. Someday we're going to, the Bible uses the word to weigh anchor from a ship, to cut the rope and the anchor drops regarding the body. Paul says in Timothy, it's time for me to weigh anchor, cut the rope. Let this anchor fall. I'm going home. That's the life of a believer. But that's the struggle. This is what he's talking about. Look at the verse 27. It's victorious. A mature faith will be victorious. Verse 27, and we're done. He says, but I discipline my body. He didn't say his mind. He didn't say his soul or his spirit or his heart. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, obedience. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Doesn't mean he's going to lose his salvation. He's saying the war between what I know is right and my flesh, if I make the wrong move and I obey my flesh, I could disqualify my life, Paul said. Christian, this is true for all of us. I want you to think about this for a moment. People are watching you. And what you don't want is for God to say, hey, Betty, I'm sorry, but you've disqualified yourself You've blasphemed my name. Didn't Moses do that? Moses, of all people. He didn't get to go into the promised land. Why? He misrepresented God. Think about it. I could be at some store, I could be out, I could be at a baseball game and yell some profanity, and everybody looks and says, that's the pastor of that church. It's over for me. Done. We could make a decision. We could do something that the flesh is demanding. Have you noticed how demanding this thing is? I want this. Paul says, hey, verse 27, hey, sit in the back. He tells his flesh, calm down, sit down. See, we get up in the morning and our flesh goes, I'm hungry for pancakes or something. Peanut butter pancakes with a banana on it, whipped cream on the top. What says that? Not your spirit. Your mind's not saying it. It's the flesh. And the flesh says, it's too hot in here. And the flesh says, it's too cold in here. Listen, and we start to complain. You know why when we complain? It's the flesh. The flesh is getting the stronger part of us. And the flesh starts griping about stuff. Paul says, hey, get back here. He got up in the morning and said, sit down. You'll be in the back seat today, flesh. And the spirit of the man led his life. And you and I make that decision every day. I'm going to live for the flesh or I'm going to live for the spirit. And here's the deal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the Christian lives for the spirit life. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then our attendance here just got a little smaller. Because if you don't have that battle going on in your life, then you're none of God's. You're none of Jesus' family. You're religious, but you don't have him in you. What a radical faith you and I have. We're the only faith in the world, in the history of mankind, where our God moves inside of us. Amen. Our God came. We're the only faith in the world where our God dies for us. We don't die for our God. Isn't that amazing? He died for us. And then he puts his spirit in us and he says, okay, now live for me. You live for me. And you preach by your lifestyle to every man, woman, boy, and girl you see in this world. That is our privilege. That is our right. That's our liberty. And that is our divine slavery to the King.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul deals with certain actions that may be a sin to one believer, but not necessarily to another. The title of this study, Every Christian, a Life. Every Christian, a Life. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And today being Friday, we've got our Ask Pastor Jack segment. By the way, if you'd like to ask Pastor Jack a question, he gets them off the cuff. I read him the questions straight from your emails. Give us an email, askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Okay, just straight off the press.
Here we go.
Pastor Jack. Hello, Pastor Jack. Comes from Nicole. I can't tell you how much I enjoy attending Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and listening to Real Radio. I have a Bible question that I just can't seem to comprehend. I've heard a couple of views, but I'm still not even close to understanding this story. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 through 25. The Witch of Endor. Mm-hmm. Can you please explain, was that really Samuel? Did the witch actually have the power to call out Samuel? Good question.
That's a great question. Yeah, Nicole, listen, what is understood is this, and camps are equally divided, so I'll give you both answers, okay? There are those who will say the dead cannot come back this way based upon the Bible. I understand that.
Okay.
And in the normal practices or in normal policies and procedures
right.
of eternity, it's pretty clear the dead cannot come this way. But we have this account where it appears that Samuel has.
Yeah.
As in fact, the context is Saul is looking for instruction, and he goes to the Witch of Endor.
Right.
He ought not to be doing that, by the way.
Right.
It's condemned in Scripture. It's condemned by the by God to the children of Israel. It's a form of paganism.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Saul is sinning, so he goes there, and the witch begins to go through her incantations or her conjuring up of the dead,
right.
her seance. her thing, okay? And it may be, A, that she is a medium and is able to do this, because that is a demonic power. It is real. The Bible warns about that. And you are not to consult someone who conjures or speaks to the dead.
Okay.
Why? Because it's not speaking to the dead. It's speaking to demonic, deceiving spirits.
Right.
Okay. So you're not really talking to, you know, Aunt Judy. If Aunt Judy appears, it's a demonic manifestation to lead astray.
Okay.
So what was going on?
Yeah.
I think this is what happened. And if you follow the storyline, Saul comes to her, she goes through her channeling,
mm-hmm.
and what happens? The Bible says the spirit of Samuel appears. Your question is, was it really Samuel? I'm going to say that it was for this reason.
Huh.
The woman freaks.
Yeah.
If she was used to her familiar spirits appearing, which is very common in Satanism, she would have been fine. She would have been okay.
Oh, yeah.
She goes into a panic. She is screams. She's terrified. She believes it's Samuel. In other words, a situation has happened where she cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And what else happens? If it's Samuel, and I believe it was allowed by God in this case, what does Samuel say? Samuel says, hey, Saul, take a good look, because you're going to be with me here. He spoke truth, not mm-hmm. deceiving. Saul, in fact, died and did enter eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So based upon what the Bible says, that it was Samuel,
mm-hmm.
that the woman's reaction was one of fright, not being in control,
right,
and that he spoke truth, Saul was going to be with him through death in eternity.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I believe the answer is, in a rare situation, God allowed the spirit of Samuel to speak one more time in this appearance. And I think the storyline and what's written in the scripture backs that up. It's a unique opportunity. It's a unique situation that I would say in this case, it was in fact Samuel and not some deceiving spirit or some other type of spirit. And thus what happened is exactly what Samuel had prophesied, even in that visitation.
I've got a movie going on in my head right now. And I mean, I came from the camp where you had a Bible in the house, but you didn't pay any attention to it. It sat there on the table. And a lot of folks, I've even had people say to me today, I don't understand the Bible, so I don't read it. Mm. Sitting here listening to you about this particular story, I get movies in front of me.
Mm.
And I say this from personal experience. Read the books of 1st and 2nd Samuel.
Yes.
It's a movie. It's a great, great story. It's very easy to understand when all is said and done.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you think about it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that for those who don't want to know the truth, there's a veil upon people's eyes. But if you're willing, the veil is lifted. So whenever you pick up the Bible, if you don't understand it, if you're honestly wanting to know what it says, ask God to give you eyes to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a spiritual book. There's no doubt about it. It is alive.
Mm-hmm.
That the word, the Bible, you know, the Bible is a book. It's printed with ink and it comes and you buy it off the shelf. The book is not sacred. We don't worship the book.
Well, right now, yeah.
The Bible, what it says, the truth that the Bible is, that's eternal. In other words, the truth of God's word was in existence before the Bible was ever printed.
Right.
And it's going to be God's truth after the Bible is no longer printed. That never changes. The amazing thing about the scriptures is that it is so true to life. It's so, how'd you put it, Davey? Like a movie?
Yeah.
That it's both fit for viewing in this life and in eternity. Because as the scripture says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? He is the revealed Word of God. If you want to know what the Word of God sounded like, or the tone of it, or the expression of it, the Word became flesh,
right,
and dwelt among us, John chapter 1 tells us. So it is on. Just read the Bible. I think people would be a lot less stressed and a lot less in peril if they just began to read the Word of God.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.